You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. After 9 on the West Coast. That's Roseanne Cash, by the way. Joining me now is Ernest Cardenas. Do you go by Ernie?
I go by Ernie, yes.
I know him as Mass Sergeant. That's his first name.
That's it. It was that way for 24 years.
Ernie, man, that's like a guy who sells cars. That's a car guy name. Like, what?
Oh, boy.
You know, that is part of the military, though. You hear somebody's first name, and you look at him, you're like, that's your name? Like, what the hell is that? I thought your name was Master Guns!
Like,
no, it's Larry. Oh, no, man, you can't be a Larry. You used to be a Master Guns! Now you're Larry? Come on, now. All right, so we got to review. Now, this is not the first time that Master Sergeant Cardenas has been on. A former retired Master Gunnery Sergeant Cardenas, I screwed that up a little bit. But born and raised where?
I was born in Torrance and raised in Long Beach, California.
Long Beach, home of Snoop.
No, I'm a California kid.
Home of Snoop Dogg.
That's me.
There you go. Did you know Snoop?
We knew of him, but I never like hung out with him or nothing like that.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So growing up, what's the best part? Give me something to do, something awesome to do in Long Beach that people don't know about. Because Long Beach is not exactly at the top of anybody's tourist destination. It's like,
that's true.
It's like going to Bell Gardens. It's like going to Bell Gardens. nobody goes.
You know, the most of the time is the beach itself. So Huntington Beach or...
Oh, wait. Going out there. Huntington Beach is not Long Beach, okay? Don't even try to,
I'm saying if you're in Long Beach, you're close enough to get there. You know, you're in L.A., you can go see the Dodgers play. They're right there down the street.
You don't even like the Dodgers. You're a Padre guy.
Well, you know, they got my attention this year.
Oh, so now you're going back to the Dodgers after you swore them up, sir. I'm a Padre fan. Like what? But I thought you grew up a Dodger fan. You can't switch. I'm a Padre fan. That's what happened.
You know what I'm with the Padres as they're real rebuilding. You know, they build them up, they get them all ready, then they send them to the Yankees.
And now they got them back, Chase Headley.
You see that? You see that? Yeah, so that's always nice.
How about the Dodgers, though? Good and young, right? Tough.
Man. Yeah, sounds like they're going to hopefully get one more run at it and see what happens.
One, man. They should be in it every year. I mean, they just got good, good young baseball players, man. They've got a bunch of guys in their farm system, too, coming up. They keep just good young players, and they got magic. Come on.
They got the magic.
They got the magic, although the magic ran out. The magic ran out.
Oh, man. It's still building. It's still building. They're looking for a couple more pieces here and there.
Well, you know what, got him? There was an article yesterday on ESPN, Yahoo? It might have been on Yahoo News. But it talked about that Houston knew what Yu Darvish was going to throw.
You know, I heard that.
Yeah, there was right after the game, right after the seventh game, Alex Rodriguez and those guys were interviewing. And who was the guy who just retired for Houston? And he got interviewed to manage the Yankees. Carlos Beltran. They're interviewing Beltran. And A-Rod, before he comes on, says, this guy is one of the best guys ever at stealing pitches, at seeing if guys are telegraphing pitches. He said, and I will tell you this, the Dodgers somehow knew what was coming, whether he was tipping off or something. And so Beltran comes out, and he's all happy, right? hey, what's going on, boys? Yep. And they're like, hey, what's up? Congratulations, World Series champion. Sits down. A-Rod looks at him and says, did you guys know what Yu Darvish was throwing? And Beltran just goes like, oh, like what? And he looks at him and goes, come on, man, use my guy. Like, what are you talking about? And they all start laughing, and they said, no, you guys had too good of swings on breaking pitches that were, like, you know, not even in the zone, but you guys were on them. That's how you have to know. And Beltran looks at him and goes, come on, like, why are we talking about this? What are you doing? And then yesterday, an article said that, the way he adjusted his grip on, I guess his natural grip when he was in this stretch is for a slider. He would adjust the ball to throw other pitches. And so that's how they could narrow down what he was throwing. And that's why they racked him. So if you're a Dodger, you're like, how did we not see that, man? How did we not know that? That we gave away two games and we won three. Yankee.
And they say baseball's mental.
Oh my God.
You got to think. Got to be out there making adjustments.
No, Matt Sarn, he's also a baseball coach. Are you still coaching?
You know, my sons are done with baseball. They know all everything already, so I had to give them up. Now they're in high school, and you know, they're playing for their high school team now. So I kind of sit back and just enjoy the ride now.
All right. So one thing before we talk about what you're doing now is I was telling everybody that earlier that you were coming on and that you in my Marine Corps experience, you had the longest transition of any Marine I've ever seen in my life. It was like 2.5 years that you were transitioning? How long was that?
About 2.5 years for me to understand the game. Yep.
And then he had to have surgery, right? For what? Sleep apnea?
That's right.
Did the surgery cure it? Do you still?
No, I'm still down with sleep apnea. I still sleep with a mask on, but I mean, as long as I got the mask, I feel like I'm okay.
Well, how do you sleep with a mask on, man? What is I? You know, I see that on TV. Do you have that thing that washes it out, like the thing on TV?
That's right. I imagine like I'm a fighter jet pilot at night. You know, I put my mask on and I'm up there in the plane.
Is that how that works? Holy shit. I imagine, like, how, it's like you see it, and you're like, man, those, that's rough stuff. One other question. Do you sleep through the night? Or do you like the rest of us wake up six times?
Well, with the mask on, I sleep through the night. Without the mask on, I wake up through the night.
Oh, really? So you put the mask on, and you fighter pilot through the night?
I fly the fire through the night, sir.
Damn.
I'm up there attacking people at night.
Dude, that's awesome. All right, let's tell everybody. You, when you were transitioning, where'd you ultimately land when you got out of the Marine Corps? Let me just tell you, he would come in every day. Hey, sir, I got some friends, they're contractors, but they got to travel all over. And I'd be like, nah, you don't want to do that, man. You've been traveling all over your whole life. You need to stay home. Yeah, but this guy tells me he's got big bucks and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, nah, you don't want to do that. And then come back another day. Sorry, I got a new line. And then comes the UAS. Talk to us about your search and then how you got to UAS. Because you had a... I think a lot of guys go what you went through, which is what? The uncertainty of getting out. You don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Tell everybody how you did it. And in retrospect, would you give any people different advice than what you did?
So, yes, sir. So myself, I decided to get out of the military. And I think my whole career was supposed to be, I was supposed to stay in 30 years. I was supposed to be, you know, Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. My whole dream was to just die a glorious death on the battlefield. I was that guy. I was all in Marine. Fast forward 24 years later, and I started getting a wife and kids, and it was time to get out. So I started looking at the civilian world to see what was out there. I really didn't pay too much attention to the TAP and TANS classes. I just thought I'd get out, and I'm good. I'm a master of the Marine Corps. You know, I led Marines all over the world. I could do this. Realized real quick that you have to bring something with you. You have to have some tangible. So it took me a while to sit myself down and rethink my structure because, you know, I was an infantry guy and I knew how to run, jump, and shoot, and that's what I did best. Looking now on it, I would spend a lot more time, you know, brushing up on my English and making sure that I write well and you know, my resume is put together nicely, and go out and do as many interviews, job interviews as you can. They all help. Just going out there to see what different people are looking for.
And I would
say, jobs, you really don't.
Let me just tell you, don't do your own resume. Go pay $200 bucks, right? And get somebody who's savvy and that they understand the whole keyword search thing and stuff like that. You know, you sit through all these resume writing classes, just sleep through those. Pull a pillow out and go to sleep and call up a former Marine. Her name's Linda Fields. She's a mass sergeant. She'll give you 10% off if you mention All Marine Radio. You can Google her, Linda Fields. Resume writing, and the cover letter has the keywords that are in the job search. The resume has the words that are in the cover letter, and it all sings. It's over your head, especially if you're a grunt. Okay, don't waste your time. Get ready, because what do grunts do well? They interview well. She gets you the interview, and her resume and the cover letter and all that all line up to do what Mass Sergeant says. Boom, 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 gets you through the door, and then you'll sell yourself. Okay. By hook or crook, you'll sell yourself. So, any other good advice? That is good advice.
So that was great advice, because that's what it took. It just took me to get in the door. Once I got in the door, people realized that I like to speak, that I'm if I understand something, I'll teach it to the best of my ability. And I sold myself. And I had a great company.
So when you got through the door, then you became Big Ernie?
That's it.
There you go. Boom. Done. And now he is a jet pilot.
Well, it didn't start that way. So I just wanted to get my foot in the door. So I jumped in at the lowest level I could, and I did what Marines do. And I started making flashcards. I started studying every day. Everything I did was about trying to figure out how to make this stuff work. As an infantry guy, I always tell everybody I didn't have no idea about airspace. I didn't know what, classifications of airspace was. No idea what a METAR was. I just figured airspace is what was up in the air. I didn't really have no idea. Once I dove in and studied and did my best at learning it, I had to go to North Carolina, to the Tulsa out there. My partner's out there, Mr. Ryan Shiro, running the Tulsa East. And I went out there and visited those guys, and they taught me everything I know. Those guys in the Tulsa East are great instructors out there. They showed me what I needed to know. And then the next thing happened is they said, hey, we're going to open up a school out in California. And being a California kid, I wanted to come back home. So I volunteered to come this way. And I came back as a logistics representative. I wasn't even an instructor. I was more of like a logistics guy. Just think of the old three doing the logistic work, getting everything set up. But again, keeping my paces, studying, teaching, figuring things out. And slowly but surely, I worked my way up to being a site supervisor here at Boy Camp Pendleton, and currently running the unmanned aircraft course here in support of the Marine Corps and their training.
He's a grunt, okay? So he shows up with a wrench in his one pocket and a hammer in the other, and that's as good as it gets. But now, improvise, adapt, and overcome. I love that. Love that. All right, let's talk about, first of all, talk about the company you work for, and then we'll talk about what you guys have going.
So the company is called Evolving Resources, Inc., located up in Camarillo, and they are unmanned aircraft, logistics, warehouse work. They repair them. They build them. They're a company on the rise. I mean, we got a great contract here. We're doing great things with the Marine Corps. Mr. Richard Gomez is the program manager out there, in case anyone wants to reach out to him. I'm always looking for, basically what I say, guys that want to work. If you want work, we got work. If you want to retire, this ain't the place to be. And that's pretty much the way I start most of my job interviews is, do you want to work? And once they say yes, then from there it's easy.
All right. So what kind of, jobs are we talking about?
We're looking for, here at Boy Camp Pendleton, instructor types. I'm looking for anybody that was at, like, formal schools at the advanced courses, maybe prior drill instructors. Recruiters always like to speak. The top priority here is if you have a security clearance, it'll help you get in much faster. So those of you that got out with security clearances or are trying to keep theirs up active, that's the best thing to do is have a security clearance. The second thing I would say is the reason I like drill instructor types or recruiter types is because you have to make sense to the average 18 and 19 year old. That's about the training. The guys we train are about 18, 19, 20, and you have to have an idea of how to break things down to the most simplest level. And I think that's kind of how I got in, is if I understand it, I can make everybody understand it. And that's what I need, those kind of people. The other thing I'll tell you is be willing to work. You know, we travel. I mean, we get to go to Hawaii. We get to go to 29 Palms. We get to go to Yuma, Arizona,
yeah.
North Carolina, Virginia. I mean, you'll travel. You may see yourself in the Philippines, in Thailand. It's always a good time to go back there every once in a while.
Easy now.
These are places that we could end up in. So you have to be able to travel. So security planet, be willing to travel. And train. A love of passion to get back to the Marine Corps is a desire to get you in. As far as the unmanned aircraft world, I mean, we'll teach you. I mean, I'm going to teach what you need to know. We're going to show you how to make it work. And it's your desire to be here that keeps you here. That's the instructor part of the house. If you're more of a hands-on type of guy, you like to build and make things, build models, or you're, you know, a mechanic out there looking to stop turning wrenches, well, there's always that side of the house. You can go to Camarillo and they'll teach you how to, you know, build these electronic work, how to build them, you know, repair patch holes or bullet holes, or when we crash into trees, how to fix them. There's always work for people. So we're looking for that wide range. I think the big thing is a commitment to work. You know, I can't have you sitting around. I can't have you waiting. I guess we're looking for what everybody's looking for, that perfect guy that's willing to work. And I always tell everybody else, if you can find a job that pays you not to work, you let me know so I can reply there also. Something like a radio DJ, you know, those kind of guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Where you're the product. All you got to do is,
you're the product,
is let them listen to you sleep in bed. See who signs up to pay for that. You know who I just had on? Did you see the Marine that ran? He's a double amputee above the knee. He ran 31 marathons in 31 days. Did you see that?
That's amazing.
Yeah, his name's got out as a sergeant. Rob Jones was wounded in Afghanistan, in Sangin when he was with 3-7. Marine steps on an IED. He went up to clear. And he said, obviously didn't see one, and stepped on it. And but he's been in the Paralympics, and he's 31 marathons in 31 days. I said, how the hell did you do that, man? You're not even a grunt. You're an engineer.
Man, that's simply awesome.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. He is a smart guy. But, you know, all right, so first of all, give us the name of the company, and how do we, you guys have a website? Where do we go? How do guys sign up to, so that's what I get to do. I get to talk to Marines like that. And then what is our message? Our message is everybody goes through rough times. When you go through rough times, reach out to other guys that are in this tribe of ours, this crazy tribe, where amputees, post-traumatic stress, and traumatic brain injuries, that's all part of every day in the tribe. Like,
that's correct, sir.
Right? And we don't judge. Yep. We don't care. You belong to us forever.
That's it.
And so what is our message? It's going to get rough. When it gets rough, reach out. And whatever you do, don't kill yourself. Don't make us go to another goddamn funeral. Right? We owe it to our friends that didn't come home to live better. And you got to fight to do that. You got to do what some of the things that Master Sergeant Cardenas talk about, which is simply what? Improvise, adapt, and overcome. And don't take the VA's bullshit. If they're not helping you, go scream and go to other people. Go to the veteran service officer in your county and get the right help. But don't quit. And so anyway, I don't know how I got off on that. Yeah, that's All Marine Radio, man. What's up?
That's it, sir. But I definitely agree with that. You know, once I got a position where I could give back to my fellow brother, and I love how I'm learning. I love how I'm, you know, the way they understand how we talk. I always told everybody, I don't know if I could make it out there. You know, here I throw a trash can, people understand, you gotta work.
Right.
I go to IBM and throw a trash can, I might get arrested or something. So,
no.
I understand it, and
you'll be walking out the door with your box.
That's right. So I definitely want to give back. I definitely want to help out as much as I can.
How do people get in touch with you? First of all, the name of the company is what?
So, Evolving Resources.
Evolving Resources.
Yep. And you could just go on the line. There's a webpage. You can go on and see it there. You can reach out to me directly, obviously. I can give everybody my email if possible.
Sure. Hold on. Let me pull up All Evolving right. Resources. Welcome Evolving to Evolving Resources. www.eri/engineering.com Evolving Resources Incorporated. About Us, Services, Seaport Enhanced. Cool little website. Serving the Warfighter. I like it. I like it. All right, so that's the Evolving Resources. You can go there. What's your phone number?
So my email, so I'll throw my email because it's easier to reach me that way. Sometimes I'm out of office.
Okay.
But it's E. Cardenas. So that's Echo, Charlie, Alpha, Romeo, Delta, Echo, November, Alpha, Sierra, at ERI, TACEngineering.com. And I'm welcoming all references or resumes or references. If you know anybody that wants to support our troops in 29 Palms, Hawaii, or anywhere else, you know, we don't know what we need until we get it offered. So
okay.
If the offer comes up, and I'll try to fit you where I can fit you.
Okay, let me ask you this. So how much traveling, you know, how much traveling would I do if I'm living here in Orange County? I've been a former school instructor. I am an officer, though. But you know me, I can habla. I can speak the language.
That's okay. It.
I can habla. So how many days would I be gone out of the year?
So the way we try to work it, sir, is the actual course is 10 days. It's okay. The training range for 10 days.
Okay.
So give yourself a day to get to, let's say, Hawaii.
Okay.
A day to get to Hawaii, 10 days in Hawaii training, no weekend, and then you come back on the next day. So that's 12 days. That's a 12-day shot in Hawaii this month. Okay. Then you probably won't go anywhere again for another 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
If you want to do that. If you want to go to 29 Palms, it's a little shorter trip. You're probably only gone those 10 days. You leave Monday morning, you're there, and you come back Friday, the second Friday of the second week. Because it's a little bit closer, easier to get there. If you wanted to go, now we do have FSR support, so we go to Iraq. If you had to go back there for some any unfinished business,
right.
We could always get you back to Iraq, Afghanistan. We support the Philippines, Thailand, wherever our Marines are at. We definitely try to get somebody out there that can support them in unmanned aircraft.
Wow.
And those come up periodically. Let's say you can do a year in the Philippines, you can do a year in Iraq, 6 months. And it's not by order. We pretty much just say, hey, there's a year in Iraq next year. Anybody want to go? You sign your name on the hat, you get all your paperwork completed, and everything goes through. You could spend next year in a foreign country somewhere.
Okay. Would you get in trouble if you yelled, oh, hell no?
No. You say, oh, hell no, I don't want to go to Whistler. I have many guys that they stay here on Camp Pendleton. They just want to train on Camp Pendleton. They don't want to go anywhere. They want to work from 7:30 to 16:30 and go home. And I'm more than happy with that. I need those guys, too.
Okay, now, and you're the site manager at Pendleton?
Yes, in Pendleton.
Wow. And you have openings now at Pendleton that you're looking to fill?
We do have openings in Pendleton, North Carolina, Hawaii, 29 Palms, Yuma. So there are openings for wherever you may want to be. So if you're on the East Coast listening, Mr. Ryan Shearer on the East Coast will take your information out there. I'll just forward him your resume.
Okay.
And we'll start looking through them.
All right, the email question. Mac, I love when you do this. It's very cool to have veterans come on and talk about the job opportunities that they have. I think it's awesome. What is the pay scale?
I always tell everybody everything's negotiable. We'll talk about it. But, you know, let's be reasonable. You know, you live in California, you live in 29 Palms, wherever you live, we're going to try to make you comfortable. You're not going to get rich in this community by any means, but it's the tangibles. I always tell people there's two things we can either work for. We can either work for time or money. And if we can't give you that much money, we'll definitely try to return some in time. But everything's negotiable, so I don't want to put a price out there just yet. But we can. I'll be willing to take offers and listen to what's going on, and we'll come to an agreement.
All right. We'll come to an agreement. Are most of your guys retired guys?
I would say I have about 6 out of 10 guys are retired, maybe 8 to 10 guys. So, but we do hire civilians. It doesn't necessarily you have to be Marines also. I mean, Navy, Army, Air Force. I've got guys with 5 years in, 10 years in. So it's more of a need to work, more of a want to give back, more of a wanting to stay around.
Okay.
I mean, every morning you say, good morning, Marines, and they all, good morning, sir. And that feeling just, you know, it's hard to get that anywhere else. So it's always nice to still be on deck and still be working.
How long have you been saying good morning, Marines?
Let's see, I've been doing this job now 5 years. I've been retired now 5 years.
When did you join the Marine Corps?
I joined the Marine Corps in 1988. And last time I was on, I told you that whole story about the, of me joining the Marine Corps. I don't know if anybody could top that. I haven't heard anybody yet.
It's a great story. It's a great story. Wait, you were up in 29 Palms, right?
I served some time in 29 Palms. I was back in 29 Palms when it was 1-4 still.
Yeah, that too was up there. And it's all changed now. Back in the day, back in the old Corps.
I always say that now.
All right. Now, hey, if you see Lieutenant McNamara down at Camp Pendleton, lock his ass on, all right?
Most definitely.
He might be my son. I don't want to say anything, but he might be my son. All right, give that website one more time. Give your email one more time. And look, if you're looking for a job, if you want to work for a company that has a ton of veterans working for it, that has opportunities around the world, that supports what the Marine Corps is doing, retired Marine Corps Master Sergeant Ernie Cardenas is your guy. Give him the website, Master Sergeant, and your email one more time.
So, again, we are Evolving Resources, Inc., or ERI. You can find us on the web, and you can reach out to us in Camarillo. If you wanted to reach out directly here to Camp Pendleton, you can email me, Ernie Cardenas. That's Echo Charlie Alpha. Hold on, now I'm messing up my own email address. Echo Charlie Alpha Romeo Delta Echo November Alpha Sierra at Echo Romeo India TAC Engineering.com. Or you can call me directly. My phone number is 760-725-4575. And I'll answer all your questions. You know, help you out with your resumes if you need, or let you know what I'm looking for, give you job descriptions. Any help I can help you, I'm here. Now's my time to give back.
Got it. All right, so now I just want to settle one thing. Are you now a Dodger fan or a Padre fan? Where did that whole thing shake up? You can't have you can't have two teams in the same division.
You can't?
No. I don't know if you know that rule, but you can have a team in the American League and a team in the National League. Like, I'll accept that. Okay? But you, let alone, not even in the same league you can have two, let alone the same division. So, when push comes to shove, which hat are you putting on your head?
So, if the Dodgers played
The Padres. And don't ask me where are they playing. Where are they playing? L.A. I'm a Dodger fan. What are you talking about, man?
Los Dodgers.
Exactly.
Being here in San Diego, loving how it is today, I'm going to say I'm a Padre fan. I'd have the fire hat on.
That's, you know what? That takes a man to say that. I've got a leadership question for you.
All right, I'm good at those.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's nothing you're a stranger to. Marine Corps is struggling with hazing with young Marines. Is hazing a leadership problem? Or is it a symptom of a leadership problem?
I would say it's a symptom of a leadership problem.
All right. Well, okay,
those individuals that have to haze or do that kind of stuff, they're lacking a couple tools in their toolbox. They need to understand that, you know, the Marines come out of boot camp, they come out of SOI, they're ready to go. You know, you can go to any graduation in the Marine Corps, and you'll see that those Marines are ready to attack. Somewhere from the time they leave the School of Infantry to the time they get to the fleet or that time in the fleet, they're not getting everything they need. So I always tell all the leaders that invite me to come talk to them or go see them that you got to develop more tools. You got to get those guys interested. You got to make them want to do stuff. You know, I had good guys like you that always told me that, hey, Marine might not be good in garrison, but I mean, he has to go to the field more. Show him how to go, you know, shoot a machine gun and shoot smalls and saws and AT-4s and get him involved in training and show them how to go out there and be the Marine that you want them to be, and all that stuff, you won't need it because the desire to become a team will overwhelm all that.
Interesting. I heard a Sergeant Major say, hey, look, nobody joins the Marine Corps to be mediocre. To be mediocre. Let me ask you another question. about hazing. You went through initiation rites, yes? I know I did as an officer. I went through them. What's the difference between an initiation rite and hazing?
What's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference?
You know, to be honest, looking back now, there it really is no different. I don't think it's a difference.
You think the same thing?
I think the only initiation you needed was when they gave you your Eagle Roman Anchor, and that made you part of the team you belong to forever.
Yeah, but I like those things. I like when I remember being a second lieutenant going to the field for the first time. You're either going to eat to a qual or you're going to do psychological sit-ups, right? And you're going to do one.
Right, and I've experienced those, sir. But like I said, it didn't make me a better person.
No,
it didn't make me do it. You know,
it was fun.
You know what makes
it?
This
is just an opinion. To me, the initiations that I participated, they were fun. You had to do something stupid, but everybody laughed, right? Everybody laughed, and it was nobody making anybody's life miserable, right?
Right.
It was more stupid stuff than anything else. And even, I remember, I tell the story, but I remember do you remember the video of the guys at 8th and I when they were at Yuma pouring piss on each other in the showers and blood wings and all that? I was asleep on the floor at our house on Bailey Street in 29 Palms, and my ex-wife was watching it, and she's like, she takes her foot and she's like shaking me. She's like, watch this. She goes, watch this. This guy pounds this thing into this guy's skin. She goes, I can't believe people do that. She said, have you ever done that? And I looked. I said, I did it this morning. Because it was like the first of the month and we promoted, right? I said, when you promote them, right, you don't put the backs on that thing. You know, you're not trying to kill them, but I told her, if you can get it like to straddle this collarbone so it doesn't move, boom, and give it a shot. Right? It's welcome. You got promoted. And then nobody's, I said, I first saw, people getting their bud stripe. I saw that not like in some secret thing in a room. It was out on the grinder after the ceremony. Nobody was trying to break each other's legs. Right? Nobody's trying to send it. But there's an element of stupidity that creeps into this stuff. Right? And I say this relative to the shellback ceremony. There's a big difference between crawling through garbage and eating it. There's a big difference between having some Tabasco squirted in your eye to make your eyes sting and making somebody drink a bottle of it. And so, to me, this hazing thing, is, I just wondered, you spend a lot of time as a grunt, you spend a lot of time as a leader in the grunts, and I know you went through more than one initiation, and so
yeah.
I just wondered, what you thought of that stuff. Anyway.
You know, sir, my opinion is I did it. I actually participated in it, and I set it all up at times.
Right.
Again, maybe because I got older now, looking back on it, I wish somebody would have rather sat me down and gave me the leadership NCI or, try to give me more tools. And I think that's what's missing is the tools in your toolbox. How do you take this? How do you build a team? How do you build camaraderie? How do you get these guys to all work together? And if you say, punching somebody in the face means you love them, well, then maybe that's not the love I'm looking for. I'd rather somebody guide me and teach me and show me and show me that I'm important, that I'm a part of a member of the team.
Right.
And for that guy, I'll break my back for him.
Right.
And that's just how I see it now. Sir.
And I think that, do you know who Barney Barnum is? Medal of Honor winner, Vietnam guy, artillery guy. So I had him on.
Artillery, yep.
Yeah, and he said, look, we all have been through initiations. They were fun. And so I asked him like that question. And he said, look, Mac, he said, when it became cool to make other Marines' lives miserable, I don't know. Because he said, look, he said, I've been a shellback. He said, I've had blood wings. He said, look, it was all fun. And I was happy to do it because I was being welcomed in. It wasn't sadistic in nature. It wasn't. He said, and maybe that's just too much for some people. And so it's better not done. He said, but I always felt better when I did that. He said, are you a shellback? I said, come on, sir. What do you think I am, some kind of boot? He says, what do you say? I'm a golden shellback. I said, nobody cares, okay? What is that? Like, you crossed it at the international date line. Who cares, okay? Nobody cares.
All right.
He said, that was fun. We had a great time that day, and it was a morale-building event. He said, how they've turned into stupid event is, I guess, a comment on leadership. So, yeah. Interesting. Final question, I'll let you go. Has the Marine Corps changed a whole lot?
Has the Marine Corps changed?
Yeah.
You're
an old guy now.
I would say...
Old Corps?
I would say it has changed a lot. For the good and for the bad, I think, in my own opinion. But I tell these Marines all the time, because they're 18, 19 years old coming in, you know, coming up, just came out of boot camp, some of them just out of SOI, and I'm like, I would trade with you guys in a minute.
Yeah.
The way the Marine Corps is headed, the future of the Marine Corps is bright. I think they're doing the right thing. I'm 100% in. Have they changed for the better? I can't tell you. Have they changed for the worse? I can't tell you. But looking at these guys still running every morning, singing cadence every morning, it still makes me want to wish my knees were strong enough to be back in there.
You know you didn't like running. Don't lie. Don't come on here and lie to everybody. I'm not the... hey, what the hell? Why are we running? What's wrong with walking? We're not made to run. We're made to walk. What the hell? All right.
Hey, but now I miss it. Now I look back and wish I could. You know, I look back and say, you know, the world doesn't pay you anymore to stay in shape. So you have to do that all because you want to. So back then it was awesome. You know, that's how you build, I think, teamwork. That's how you build camaraderie. You know, get your whole squad to run under, you know, first-class PFTs and show them that they can be the strongest and the best super squads out there. I think that's how you build a team. That's how you get more tools in your toolbox. You know, that's how you get people to want to stay around.
Right. No, it's interesting because there is this notion relative to hazing that this is, you know, either I think among the idiots, it's I went through it, so they're going through it. That's why I got him up at 3 a.m. That's why I did this to him, because somebody did it to me. And
well, I don't mind it that way, sir. I mean, the part that gets me is when they say I had to do 20, so you're going to do 50. That's where it gets messed up. If you gave me the same, you did 20, I do 20, then maybe that's where it could be. But because somebody wants to make it more difficult on you than it was on them, is where I think it starts getting sadistic.
No, I'm with you.
Where it starts getting messed up.
Right. All right. His name is Ernie Cardenas. He's a retired Marine Corps mass sergeant. I had the privilege of working with him and Sergeant Major Aguero, who I just spoke at their birthday ball. You should have heard the shit I said about him. Finest Marine. Dan Daly doesn't have shit on him. I got done, I walked over, I looked at him, and he goes, so that was awesome. I said, yeah, I'm up there pumping your tire with a compressor, man. I overinflated that thing. He said, no, sir, you know, you're just telling the truth.
That's right. Nope.
No, but I had actually, Mass Sergeant was the ops chief, and at the time, Gunnery Sergeant Aguero was the assistant ops chief, and he's now Sergeant Major, so you know what kind of guy, and he, you know, there should be a rank above Sergeant Major, and he would have that. He's that kind of guy. Alright, Cardenas, he's a little bit more of a criminal, so I don't know if he would have got there the same place, but, you need criminals in the Marine Corps, right? You definitely need criminals. But you want to work, if you're looking for a job, give him a call. 760-725-4575. Ernie Cardenas, he's a Padre fan. That's rough admitting that in public. And, first of all, Matt Sargent, thanks for doing this. And if there's a time that I can help you guys get the word out, and, I'm certainly be more than happy to do it, because we're all about helping Marines here at All Marine Radio. And anytime you guys need some help or a way to get a message out, let me know.
Sounds great, sir. Thank you for all you do.
No, not a problem. Seven Fidelis, have a great day.
Thank you.
There you have it. He's a good dude, man. If you go to war, you go to war with guys like that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts with 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
I'm an individual member. I joined the Global South Foundation because I believe in what it can do, and I also wanted to stay tied to the community that I was part of.
The benefits for individual members of the Global South Foundation are two things. One is networking, keeping in touch with the community, developing new relationships at any stage of your career. And secondly, it helps people stay abreast and up to date on the latest issues that the South community should be aware of.
The Global South Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsouthfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. 9:47 on a Wednesday. My thanks to Master Sergeant Ernest Cardenas for coming off. Nah, you know what? You get to work with guys in the Marine Corps that are good guys and have great experiences. Tell you what kind of guy he is. He was selected to sit on a pretty high profile court martial that dealt with events in Iraq. A place called Hamandia. 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines. All of them, all the guys who were members of the jury were multiple combat tours, decorated, and he was one of them. And it's very interesting to talk to him about that incident, you know, what would you do and all that. So, no, you know what? It wasn't that. It was Haditha. It was the last trial of, was it Hutchinson? Sergeant Hutchinson? And, yeah, and ultimately what happened was the Marine Corps gave everybody immunity, you know, other than this guy. And then they all said that they lied in their previous statements, and they dismissed the case. Yeah, but it was interesting. He couldn't talk about, obviously, the case during it, but afterwards, you know, how would you have voted? He's like, you know, sir, it's so confusing. He said, you know, so we never really got the chance to go into the jury room and deliberate. And he said it would have been interesting to hear whatever he had to say. But he said, you know, it's confusing, fast happening, and bad stuff going on. And, you know, can you convict somebody? You know, bad things did happen, but you're trying to get to the bottom of what went wrong and who should have prevented it. He said, pretty tough. But he, just my point is, he's that kind of guy. You would find him in that position and him absolutely comfortable in it. And it is. It's one of the great parts of the Marine Corps. You get a chance to meet guys like him and Sergeant Major Aguero. Aguero needs to come on and talk a little bit of leadership here on All Marine Radio. It's very interesting talking to him that night. And one of the things that we talked about on the night of the birthday ball, he's with VMM 164, which are the Knight Riders, and it's an Osprey squadron. He said, you know, wing's different. It's intense in a different way. Every time one of those aircraft goes up, it's game on. He said, well, you know, a lot of times when you're, you know, doing stuff as a grunt, you know, it's not game on. You're just in garrison doing stuff. He said, but here it's game on every day. So it's a different kind of leadership, no less intense. So, but they're just two great, great, wonderful guys. And the Marines that we had at the time were all guys who'd been wounded in combat or were having post-traumatic stress issues. And so they were normally on their way to Wounded Warrior Battalion, and they were going to work for us as their packages got worked up and as they went through the different medical and mental health screenings that they had to do while they were you know, obviously in that pipeline. And they did nothing but take great care of them. And so it was It was like I said, it's one of the best things. It's one of the best things about the Marine Corps is the kind of people you met. And again, they're from all different walks of life, and it's what makes it truly truly rewarding is that, you know, you can learn as much from, you know, guys who enlisted in the Marine Corps from East Los Angeles and have gone through the School of Hard Knocks about leadership as you can from Brute Krulak. and you watch the way they treat Marines and the way they mentor them and the way they're hard with them and then the way they're the way they love them, and you see the loyalty of Marines to those guys, and you just sit there and watch it. And you're like, what an absolute cool place. What an absolute cool place. So, so I was fortunate enough to, and wanted to have him on. I bumped into, something that he posted, and I called, I messaged him. I said, "Hey, come on Allman Radio and talk about it." He said, I'm on it, sir. Let's go. Let's do it." So, the company is ERI Engineering. So if you go on, the internet and you look for it, you will find it. ERITACEngineering.com. You can go there, or you can call, or you can email ecardenas, C-A-R-D-E-N-A-S, at ERI-engineering.com. So, and again, he's a great, great guy. And, somebody who I would go to work for in a second if I was looking for a job. So, good man and funny too. And so he makes work fun. Let's see. A couple of emails. Mac, any thoughts about, the election last night? Well, I mean, who could be surprised by the election last night? You know, the guy has all these charges that he's dated and somehow or other either harassed or abused young women. What was it? It was 49 point something to 49 point something. I mean, hell, he still almost won. Next one. Have you seen this story? And posted 1 hour ago. Marine Corps helicopter window falls onto Okinawa Elementary School. Yikes. For the second time in less than a week, an object from a Marine Corps aircraft has reportedly landed on school grounds in Okinawa, Japan. At 10:09 a.m. on Wednesday, a window from a CH-53 Echo Super Stallion fell onto a sports field of an elementary school outside Marine Corps Air Station Futima, Marine Corps officials announced. About 50 children were outside on the school grounds at the time, and one 10-year-old boy was slightly injured by the wind pressure caused from the falling object. What? I'm not exactly sure. Marine Corps officials declined to confirm whether the student had been injured. Quote, "We take this report extremely seriously and are investigating the cause of the incident in close coordination with local authorities." Separately, media outlets have reported that a small cylindrical object fell from another CH-53 Echo onto the roof of a Japanese nursery school on December 7th. The Marine Corps said it was investigating that incident, but has not yet announced whether the object came from a Marine aircraft. Meanwhile, an Air Force F-35A lost a panel over the Pacific Ocean about 65 miles east of Okinawa during a November 30th training flight. The 18th Wing did not announce that incident until December 4th. Why, why we're having these kind of issues? Not exactly sure. And the other thing, I'd be curious. I'm not an aviator. I just play one on the radio. But why are we flying over nursery schools and, you know, is that not avoidable? I would imagine it's not. But is that not avoidable? I would hope it would be, but it's not like they would do that if there was a better option. One more headline before we get out of here. The alcohol ban and curfew imposed on U.S. troops in Japan last month following a fatal accident in Okinawa has been lifted, according to a statement from U.S. Forces Japan. As of noon today, normal liberty and alcohol consumption policies are back in effect for U.S. military members located or operating in Japan. Although the ban has been lifted, enlisted service members, E5 and below, still face a curfew between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m., according to U.S. Naval Forces, Japan. All military personnel may now purchase and consume alcohol, both on and off the installation. Troops are prohibited, however, from consuming alcohol off installation between midnight and 5 a.m. unless in their off-base residence, which I would not imagine applies to too many, because not that many people live in off-base housing. So, there you have it. That'll do it on a Wednesday version of Almarine Radio, a very cool edition. If you tuned in late, former Marine Rob Jones joined us today, and you've probably seen him on TV. 31 marathons in 31 days. He did. He's a double amputee above the knee, and it's an incredible physical feat. But it's really interesting to hear him talk about his injuries, the thought process in those injuries. Really interesting. He's an interesting guy. You can check his stuff out at robjonesjourney.com. You can follow him. You can contribute to what he's doing. Or if you're interested in him as a guest speaker, which might not be a bad deal. He's an interesting guy with a message of overcoming and living a good, positive life. So I would recommend check it out. But you're going to hear him talk about joining the Marine Corps. You're going to hear about his deployments. He had one to Iraq before he went to Afghanistan. To the vicinity of Fallujah. He was working out of Camp Habaniya, but he said Iraq had cooled out a lot. And then he wanted to go to Afghanistan. He was a Marine, wanted to fight. So he went to Afghanistan, and that's where he was wounded. And then the story of from that journey to becoming a wounded warrior athlete. So very, very cool. Very, very cool. So, listen to that, and then after that, if you know somebody that's looking for a job, a buddy of mine, Ernie Cardenas, retired Marine Corps Master Sergeant, infantry type, does UAS training for the Marine Corps at Camp Pendleton. His company is looking for they're looking for people. Right, ERI-engineering.com is the website. E Cardenas, Cardenas at ERI goodman-engineering.com. That's his email. Shoot him an email. Good man. He's a straight shooter, and if you're a Marine, he'll be absolutely square with you, which is, I think, as much as most people want. Anyway, have a great afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. We're going to talk to our first visit since he became a dad from SOFRA, Alex Hollins, former Marine Sergeant. We're going to talk to him about get his thoughts on transgender. Transgender people in the United States military. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about fatherhood as well tomorrow. Alex Hollings is always an interesting guy to have on the program. So with that said, have a great day. This program repeats itself momentarily, and as I said, it's a good one. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial.